With the fifth pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Bradley Chubb, defensive end, NC State.
Pressure off the edge, and Smith is sacked by Bradley Chubb.
Jared Goff, and he's going to be sacked. Back at the 44 by Bradley Chubb. Goff on third and six, getting away for not long. Bradley Chubb in there again. Empty backfield, and Goff getting a rush from Chubb and company, and a sack back at the 30. Bradley Chubb.
Just like walking into this facility every day is going to be different, so going to a different one, but I'm excited about the new journey God has for me and my family, so I'm looking forward to it. Even earlier today, I was kind of up in the air how I should feel and stuff like that, so now it's good to be in the right state of mind and understand what the task at hand is now, and just go out there and execute. The people, the relationships I built, just guys like Draymond, who I've seen come in, Sosa, who I've seen come in, and Josie and Courtland, the people I came in with. And, I don't want to keep naming people because I'm going to forget somebody, but just all those guys, all those relationships, and my only regret probably is just not finishing. You know what I'm saying? Where we started, you know what I mean? It's been fun. It's been a hell of a journey. I'm just looking forward to the next part of my career.
There's Bradley Chubb. Well done, Angel. A little tribute to number 55. Now, number two? He's going to be number two now? Wow. That's going to be weird. Bradley Chubb is no more a Denver Bronco. Of course, that was the big story yesterday, that the Broncos traded Bradley Chubb. And, I mean, that's the Method Flow Products poll question of the day, by the way. Do you like it? You good with it? Are you happy with the Bradley Chubb trade? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. I'd love to get your thoughts on this one. 63% of the Hooligans saying yes. It's the way I view this. Now, a lot of people are saying this can't be a George Payton win because you gave everything away for Russell Wilson, who's turning out to be an average quarterback. That's so tough to just go there with it, because you thought you were getting a great quarterback. There's still time for Russell Wilson to be that guy. So that trade could still pan out. But, you know, a lot, when I said yesterday, I said George Payton hit a home run here. And some of the pushback on that was, yeah, but he gave away everything for Russ. So he's still playing catch up to try to accrue draft picks and everything. I guess I don't look at it right like that right now. I don't think there was hardly anybody I know that was saying, oh, this is a bad trade for Russell Wilson at that point. Now, as the season has progressed, things have changed, but I have a hard time with that, because that was the move and we all signed off on it. Okay, whatever happens with Russ, you better hope something good starts happening with Russ, because you're stuck with the situation. But dude, I said it 2 weeks ago. Bradley Chubb to me is a third round pick. He's played, you know, in his career, he's been a good player. You know, this year he's been borderline great, maybe good to great. You know, he had 5.5 sacks. He's missed a lot of games, though. That's the thing. I mean, his rookie year, he played 16 games. Then 4. Then 14. Then 7. Last year he played in 7 games. No sacks last year. So, is Bradley Chubb really? What's crazy to me, Angel, and you know, you Dolphins fans are doing this now. The NFL is now saying Bradley Chubb. I mean, I heard on the NFL Network, Angel, that Bradley Chubb's now the second best player on the Dolphins. That's not true, right? I mean, Tyreek Hill's the second best player on the Dolphins.
Who would be number one then?
Tua?
Yeah.
Tua and Tyreek?
I'd say probably Tua, Tyreek, and Teron Armstead.
So, okay. But now the NFL's acting like, what's weird to me is suddenly we're acting like Bradley Chubb is this world difference maker. And I didn't see it. I didn't see it once in Denver. Difference maker. I'm talking comes up with the big plays on a consistent basis. And after his rookie year, I thought, all right, he's going to give Josh Allen a run for his money on this whole discussion. He had 12 sacks his rookie year. Hasn't touched that since. And this isn't a knock on him. The night before it happened, I tweeted out and said, I think the Broncos should keep him. and sign him to an extension. But it's hard to pass up when you see a first rounder there, because I don't think Bradley Chubb is worth first rounder. I haven't felt that way for a long time with this guy. But if you're the Dolphins, does he make sense? He's not the best pass rusher in the league, but they needed one. They needed a good one, and they got a good one. This is the Dolphins team that's saying, we are going all in for a shot this year. We want to get to the playoffs. We want to be competitive. We maybe even want to try to win a Super Bowl. Now, there are comparisons. We're drawing comparisons to the Vaughn thing, to Chubb. And listen, I don't know. I mean, Von Miller's a Hall of Fame player. He will be in the Hall of Fame. Bradley Chubb is nowhere close to that. Vaughn revived his career going to the Rams and did, you know, Von Miller things. I guess the thing is we were still all waiting in Denver to see what a full season of Bradley Chubb looks like. And, you know, we thought we were going to get it this year, but here we are. It's a trade. It happened. Was Bradley Chubb better this year because this defense is better? This defense is good. And this is why it's not a waving of the white flag. Because you drafted Nick Benito and you hoped that Baron Browning would turn out to be a good player. We discussed that in the offseason. We said, hey, Nick Benito is set to put pressure on Bradley Chubb. That's what this move is all about. And if Baron Browning can play well, okay, then you probably won't re-sign him. I mean, that was a realistic conversation well before the trade talks. So I don't view it as that. You know, some people are viewing this as the Broncos, just like last year with Von Miller. They're waving the white flag. This is it. They're trading a franchise-type player. And now it's time to phone it in for the rest of the season and just prepare for next year. And I don't see it that way. Now, I'm not saying the Broncos are going to go on a massive run here and win a Super Bowl. No, not saying that. But I think right now, with the pieces you have, you still believe that you can go out and compete. You can go out and beat the Titans and make this thing interesting for Denver. Chubb was good, but he's not a... To me, right now, he wasn't... And neither was Vaughn. Neither one of those players, to me... Chubb was playing better this year than Vaughn was playing last year. But neither one of those players I look at and go, oh, that's it. You just lost your foundational guy. Vaughn was that guy at one point. Chubb was never that guy. So, you know, the Hooligans voting in, yeah, most of the Hooligans, at least the majority, are saying, yes, I'm happy with this trade. First rounder out of this deal. And you get a, you know, you bolster up the depth at running back. And, you know, you got to be feeling all right about the situation. I mean, adding Chase Edmonds, that one doesn't matter. I would have gone, whew, Bradley Chubb and first rounder straight up. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you're the Dolphins, you overpaid, but, yes, they did. They overpaid, Angel.
But, not because the pick is in the 20s. I don't think it's an overpay.
It's a first rounder for an average player, average to good player.
He's top three in pass rush win rate this year. And I want to ask you this, because I looked up his stats, you know, in his career, and you mentioned the down years that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the Broncos' records that year. Do you think the team success influenced his success?
Then he's not a difference maker. Same with Vaughn.
Do you think that changes now that he goes to a team that competes?
I think he'll play better if he can stay healthy. That is a big if.
That's my biggest concern.
He'll be better because he's... Look at Vaughn. Vaughn went to a Rams defense that was really good last year. Vaughn's on a Bills defense that's pretty good this year. So, yeah, I think Bradley Chubb's stats will look better. But what my point is, they did overpay. But that's not the worst thing in the world for the Dolphins, because you are playing for this season. You are more concerned about what you can do this season. So I'm not necessarily knocking it. I think the Broncos got the better end of the deal here. No question. First rounder for, you even said it yesterday, decent career. He's had a decent career. Nowhere close to a Hall of Fame career. But if you're the Dolphins, you needed an average to good, borderline great, whatever he is, pass rusher. So you were willing to overpay a little bit. And I don't have a problem. If I'm a Dolphins fan, I wouldn't have a problem with either. But yes, to me, they absolutely overpaid. If you trade a first rounder for anybody outside those top 10, 15 guys, you overpaid a little bit. But it makes sense for the Dolphins. And for the Broncos, Baron Browning on any given Sunday plays just about as good as Bradley Chubb. This season, when Browning was in, when he was taking over for Randy Gregory, he played just about as good. So, if you're in, and Nick Benito's a rookie. He just had his best game in a must-win situation. So if you're Denver, you absolutely feel like this was the best move possible. And yes, I don't think that the Dolphins were stupid for making the move. I think they overpaid, but that happens in the league. That happens in any sport. You see a need, and you go, can we afford to do this for a good player? Yeah. Dixon says, Brady, for years you defended Vaughn, blaming his lack of production on the offense, not putting him in game scripts to where he could rush the passer. Is Chubb's situation any different? No, I just said, I think he's going to be better in Miami. But I also think this defense is better than it's been in the past 5 years with Vaughn. I mean, this defense, this is the best defense we've seen with the Broncos since the no-fly zone. No question about it. And so, no, I'm saying it. Yeah, he's going to go, just like Vaughn did, he's going to go to Miami. He's probably going to have some monster games. And you're going to feel great about that trade. It's still going to be an overpay. I mean, did the Rams overpay for Vaughn last year? I don't even remember what that deal was. They didn't get a first-rounder for him, did they? I think I had it up here. Let me check. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Where is it? What is it? What was? Oh.
It's a combination of second and third round picks.
I mean,
for this year or last year's draft.
A combination of second and third?
Yes.
So, yeah, you probably overpaid there too because Vaughn at that point wasn't at. Like, Chubb right now is better than Vaughn last year at the trade deadline. So the Rams probably overpaid. But what did they get for it? They got a Super Bowl. So it absolutely makes sense. I don't think the Dolphins were. I would have considered doing the same thing. You like your pieces. You're doing the Sean McVay thing where you're going, does a first round pick that we don't know about really make us go to the next level? Probably. I mean, you could. That's a flip of the coin. But does a pass rusher that we desperately need help us get closer? And you know he's good. He is good. But does that make you get closer? So I do think, yes, I think they absolutely overpaid, but it's not like, oh, the Dolphins, man, they're going to regret this decision for the rest of their lives. Are they going to re-sign him? Because the Rams didn't with Vaughn. He obviously is playing for Buffalo.
Yeah, Dolphins GM Chris Greer had a press conference this morning, and they said they are expected to give him some kind of extension, anywhere around probably $20 million a year.
For like a three-year deal, four-year deal or something?
Probably.
Yeah, and then again, the question is, can he stay healthy? Listen, I hope, because Angel, I love you. I hope he works out for you. I do. I actually think, and I hope it works out for him. Time will tell. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. How about this? The good, Brendan Rodgers awarded National League Gold Glove at second base. Who knew? They're throwing these things around everywhere, man.
Everyone gets a gold glove.
Everybody gets a gold glove. Now, everybody, each position, so that was, he was the best second baseman in the National League.
All right, Rockies, I see what you're doing.
I see you, Rockies. You got a gold glover. Brendan Rodgers. Okay.
You could almost win a World Series with that.
You sure could. Get about eight more of those, and you sure could. And if you could hit. the bad is the Astros. We were a little off on our future headline there. It was 4-0 before I even got the kid put to bed, come downstairs, and I'm like, whoa, this thing's getting out of hand quickly. I switched over to watch Ohio and Buffalo football last night. That was garbage. Football's on all the time now, isn't it? You told me that. Like, football's going to be on every night now?
Yeah, we're in like a 27-day stretch of football.
Vortex. I couldn't help it. I'm watching last night. I'm like, this is a terrible game, but I'm going to watch it. And it was. It was. Who won? Ohio, I think? I don't remember. Who cares? The ugly is really this Dan Snyder thing. I mean, is he going to sell the team? Is that where we are at this point?
I think that's what the popular opinion is trending towards, that he's going to sell the team. There's an option that he could sell a minority portion of the team and still be in charge. But this is... maybe this is pressure from the owners or Goodell in the NFL trying to push him out. And maybe he's just saying, all right, you win. You can have it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. There you go. That's the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Dude, we have a really unique interview coming up today at 11:30. Now, you've been hearing me talk about Battleground Pro Wrestling presents November Pain coming up on the 5th, right? Is that a Saturday? November 5th. Today's the 2nd. Tomorrow's the 3rd, 4th. Yes, we got it. Boom. We're going to talk to Gino Told You So Rivera. Yeah. Yeah. And he's going up against former WWE star, superstar Brian Kendrick. They hate each other. They just hate each other. And Gino Told You So Rivera is defending his AIWF cruiserweight belt. Dude, I've always wanted a championship belt. I just want one. Dixon has one, I think. A couple of our fantasy football winners have one. It's going to be fun. 22 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. We'll get your thoughts on this. Texters saying, hey, they didn't overpay if they believe that he's the guy. You can overpay for an awesome car and still love the car, and turns out better on gas mileage. You have it for the next 10 years. It's a great vehicle. Then you give it to your kid. It's lasted forever. Yeah, you overpaid at the time, but it really turns out to be a great vehicle. Yes. So I think that there's, when I say overpay, I'm saying Bradley Chubb was not worth a first rounder.
I lean towards not being overpaid just because it's not our, in this fight, it's not our money we're giving away. It's money that was borrowed from another team and now we're just giving it to you.
But they don't have a first round pick now, right?
No. Well, that's Steven Ross's fault.
Right, but they would have had one.
We would still have one if not for tampering.
Right, but you tampered, but you still had San Francisco's.
But I think it's also, hey, we're buying into our team. We need one more piece. Here we go. We don't need this top 20 or bottom 20 pick.
Trust me, I'm not saying it was the wrong move. I'm just saying you overpaid. I mean, you go to buy a car and you love it so much and they tell you it's $40,000 and you're like, I was only prepared to pay $35,000, but you just fall in love with it and you know it's going to last you forever, hopefully.
Does that include depreciation?
Yeah, all that stuff. So you go, all right, I'm going to overpay a little bit, but I know this is going to be great down the road. 23 minutes after the hour, we'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sports Net, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
I'm excited about this next interview, man. I've never done this before. But we're going to interview Gino Told You So Rivera. He was a champ, a wrestling champ at Arizona State, and then he transitioned that role and that talent into pro wrestling. And we've got an awesome event coming up. Battleground Pro Wrestling presents November Pain on this Saturday, 5:30. The doors open. You guys got to check this out. This is fun. This is going to be a blast. Brian Kendrick and Gino Told You So Rivera will be the main event. That will be for the AIWF cruiserweight title. So get out there, man. Greeley Rec Center. This place is going to be popping. Check out battlegroundprowrestling.com for chances to get tickets. We'll take a little break early here. We're going to bring on Gino Told You So Rivera coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
I am pumped about this interview. big weekend coming up. You've heard me talking about it. Battleground Pro Wrestling presents November Pain. And the main event is going to be for the whole enchilada. The AIWF Cruiserweight Championship belt is on the line this weekend. And joining me now is Gino Told You So Rivera from Brooklyn, New York, weighing in at 165 pounds, the Frank Sinatra of the Spanish Mafia. Gino, thanks so much for giving us some time, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm amped up, I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to crack some skulls this weekend.
You going up against Brian Kendrick, dude. Okay, so you guys, there's some bad blood here. There's a lot of bad blood between you guys.
Yes, absolutely. There's been a lot of bad blood between the both of us for years now. Brian Kendrick walks away with a victory in 2014 that I have not been able to get my revenge back on him, because we both have not crossed paths until now, until 2022 at Battleground Pro Wrestling this Saturday in Greeley, Colorado. I get my revenge. I get everything that I want this Saturday in the main event. But I'm feeling a little upset, because I have to put up my AIWF championship and Brian Kendrick isn't putting up anything. I don't understand why he deserves a crack at my championship. This should just be a grudge match, a straight fight, but yet he wants to take and take and take and take like he always does from me.
Brian Kendrick, so the way I'm kind of looking at this, too, I don't think that's fair either. Like, he should have to put his stuff up on the line, too, if you are having to do this. Is Brian Kendrick kind of being treated like the darling of this industry right now? And that's something where you look at and say, man, it's time to take this guy down.
It's obvious that there's sides being picked, right? I mean, Brian Kendrick is being coddled. Brian Kendrick is the big superstar. Brian Kendrick is the one that all the fans are paying to see, but there's nothing being put up for grabs for Brian Kendrick. I mean, if I had it my way, I would say I want his career. You know what I mean? That's what I want.
Do you feel like this is an opportunity this weekend? You beat him down, you put on your signature move, you take him down, and then maybe the trend starts going your way. You start taking over.
Absolutely. Look, my signature move is the Brooklyn Stomp. Mm. I jump up from the top rope and I crash down. I use all of my body weight to cut these people in half. And this time I'm going to double stomp Brian Kendrick right through the ring. It's going to be a crime scene.
We're talking to Gino Told You So Rivera. Okay, let me ask this. Why haven't you guys met up since what? Was that back in the day, several years ago? Has he been avoiding you? He's been trying not to cross paths with you these past few years?
I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it. But some would say, you know, the WWE went and picked him up. Mm. He had bigger ventures. He had bigger projects to work on, when in reality, Gino Rivera feels like he's been ducking me, because he knows. Over the years, I've gotten smarter, I've gotten better, I've gotten faster. I have more to give now. I have more to take now. And he knows that. So now he's coming along and crossing my path. When where were you all this time, Brian? Where were you? Where's all the excuses now?
Well, and we're going to find out. We're going to find out this weekend, too. Dude, you have such an awesome background, too. I mean, how much do you bring in that wrestling, you know, that traditional wrestling background? You were a champ, Arizona State wrestling champ. And so your accolades, man, I mean, you've got the pedigree.
Gosh, I've held over 14 championships in 14 years. That's one championship every single year. I'm currently holding two different titles in two different states. I'm wrestling this month for another championship that I'm going to take away in Texas. I'm bigger and better than I ever was before. And Brian Kendrick knows that. That's why he wants to cross paths. That's why he accepted the match. He wants to try and take a championship away from me. Right now, it's not even about the championship. I'm so confident that I'm going to beat Brian Kendrick that I put it up for grabs anyway. Just so I can rub it in his face and let him know that I beat you. I had something that you could have taken away that you can't now. But guess what, Brian Kendrick? The joke is on you.
Brian Kendrick, big battle coming up. Brian Kendrick, Gino Told You So Rivera, the main event this weekend for November Pain at the Greeley Rec Center. Talk to me, Gino, a little bit about your BPW history, and give me more insight to this rivalry between you and Kendrick.
When I was a rookie, Battleground Pro Wrestling, Peter Villano was the only one that saw something in me. I was a young kid floating out in the wind. I didn't have anything to my name, any credit, and nothing. No one gave me a shot. But Battleground Pro Wrestling, Foob Dog, Stepdaddy, Peter, they all looked at me and they said, we can do something with this kid. And that is where my loyalty remains to this day. That is why I am so confident. I am so strong. I believe in Battleground Pro Wrestling. That is why I am the main event. I went from being a guy on the dark match, being the pre-show, being the first match, being the one that nobody talks about, to now saying that I am in the main event at Battleground Pro Wrestling. I feel strongly about this. I love Battleground Pro Wrestling. As far as Brian Kendrick, this is a guy who was trained by Shawn Michaels. Do you hear what I said?
Oh.
Shawn Michaels, a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time. This man, Brian Kendrick, has everything there is to make it in this industry. This man has made it in the industry, has been to the very top where I haven't been yet, which I truly deserve to be. I want to be in Brian Kendrick's shoes. And now I get the chance to take him out and show him that I am not only on your level, but I am better than you in every sense of form, in every way. I am better than you. I want to show a man that was trained by Shawn Michaels that I can hang. I can go because I'm Gino Rivera and I told you so.
Love it. Absolutely love that catchphrase too. I love it. Can't wait for this weekend, Gino. Okay, last one for you. Talking again about this rivalry that continues to build up more and more. We know we got the AIWF Cruiserweight title belt on the line against Kendrick. You talk about his history in the WWE, what he's done. I mean, this guy, he probably comes at this. You know, he's coming in here to Greeley, Colorado, and he's kind of got a little attitude about him.
You know what? Right now, I'm going to disagree with you on that. Right now, he's putting up a mask, a shield, a beard is what they called, right? He's not worried at all. He threw a jab at me in his promo, and he said, oh, I know Gino Rivera, but I liked him better as Seville the Throat. He would say that. He would say that he liked me when I was a rookie, and I didn't know a darn thing about this business. So he's trying to show everybody, hey, guys, I'm not the villain. I'm not the bad guy here. That's the bad guy. In reality, Brian Kendrick is the villain. He's the bad guy. He's the guy that looked at me and laughed. He's the guy that pinned me 1-2-3 in 2014, May 30th. I have not forgotten the date because it eats me alive. And I know Brian Kendrick better than anyone, better than any fan in that building, better than anyone in the locker room, better than the promoter that booked him. I know Brian Kendrick, and that is all a facade. He's going to show his true colors. He's going to show his face, and I know all about it, and I plan on getting my revenge. Now I can say I'm better than you, Brian Kendrick, and I promise when the night is over, my hand will be raised in Greeley, Colorado. At Battleground Pro Wrestling, mark the date, November 5th, November Pain. Gino Rivera brings the pain to Brian Kendrick.
BattlegroundProWrestling.com. Get your tickets. Get ready to rock and roll this weekend. Gino, man, you are a dude. I'm highly, highly entertained. I cannot wait for this big weekend, my friend. Hey, best of luck to you. Thanks for being on with us.
Absolutely. I don't need luck. All I need is my fist to beat him up. And that's what's going to happen. See you there, Brian Kendrick.
Brian Kendrick's going down. Brian Kendrick's going down. Gino Told You So Rivera is going to defend the AIWF Cruiserweight Championship belt this weekend at the Greeley Rec Center. 43 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, that was my first time interviewing a wrestler, like pro-style wrestler. I'm kind of pumped now. I didn't know where that was going to go. But he was fired up. Holyoke, Texas says, I want to fight Kendricks now. I want to hit him with the UCCC off the turnbuckle. I love it, dude. Holyoke, you got to get here. This is going to be a fun event, dude. That was a blast. I was not expecting that. He came fired up.
Brought out all the history and the backstory, the bad blood between these two. It's exciting.
Brian Kendricks is like he was a tag team champ at the WWE, too.
Big time.
Oh, yeah. I love this stuff. I grew up with this stuff. That was great.
I was never into wrestling, but that has me excited.
It kind of makes you, yeah, dude. Check it out.
Watching his videos on TikTok and Instagram, this dude he brings the energy.
He's fired up, man. He's fired up. He's ready to go. I said good luck at the end. He's like, I don't need luck.
Why? Because he told you so.
That was the first time I've ever told somebody, like an athlete or coach or whatever, good luck, and they responded that way, which is awesome. I wish that coaches would respond that way. Next time I get Jay Norvell on, I want to say, good luck, coach. I don't need luck, Brady. We're going to rip San Jose State apart. Don't you wish sometimes you hear that a little more? Because it's always really professional, and sometimes you hear it. But, yeah, I love it, and that was good. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's see. Let's catch up on some texts. Dolphins have flipped three first-rounders they got in trades for Waddle, Hill, and now Chubb. They, unlike the Broncos, are doing it right. Broncos just made the strength of their team weaker. Okay, did the Broncos get better today? No. Did they get slightly worse? I suppose. Because is Baron Browning not as good a player as Bradley Chubb? Correct. Is he that far away, though? I don't know. I'm asking myself questions and sounding smart by answering them.
I think you'll see an impact on, maybe not so much on the field just because he's been inconsistent, but maybe his leadership in the locker room. You talk about he's such a good, you know, locker room guy, and he's been really the leader of that defense. So it'll be interesting to see how that unit responds. But I think for a guy like Browning and then a guy like Nick Benito, you're going to get plenty of opportunities now to really show yourself in this back half of the season.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We said this at the beginning of the season. Nick Benito is going to have to be, you know, grow up fast in this league. Because what did I say to start the season? You drafted Nick Benito. That move was to put pressure on Bradley Chubb. So if I was 100% sold on Bradley Chubb, I wouldn't have said that. If George Payton was 100% sold on Bradley Chubb, I don't think you're drafting Nick Benito because you just signed Randy Gregory.
I think it worked.
Yeah, I think it did too. I think
Chubb, you got him to play up and you got trade value.
He played up. If he would have had two sacks coming in, you wouldn't have got a first rounder for it. And this defense is legit. So 51 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Right? No. We don't have a break. See, dude, I'm all thrown off now. I'm all thrown off by that interview, but in a good way, like in a really good way. That was fantastic. Pretty much every recent big move Peyton has done has made the team worse so far. Hackett, Wilson, re-signing Gordon, trading Chubb. When you go all in on a QB like they did, it makes these moves where you make your team worse a little head-scratching. Okay, but the problem is Hackett, we didn't know was going to be this bad. And I'll say this, Angel, has he been this bad? Has he been that bad the last couple of weeks?
I wouldn't say that. He's made his rookie coaching mistakes, and I think it's amplified because they've been on primetime so much, and we get to see these mistakes happen. It's not just a random 2 o'clock game. So, I don't know. I think he's getting better, and I think the Jags game, that was probably his best coached game. There were still a lot of mistakes in that, but the offense looked competent in that second half. The defense was playing throughout, and you see the adjustments are being made, and I think he's realizing that. And, you know, if Russell can pick up the rest of his slack, you can start working together to push, you know, this team forward, and it's not so much pressure on the decisions and the play calling.
No, that's the thing. Like, I'm starting to get the sense, and it's 1 week, but I'm starting to get the sense that maybe Hackett's not going to be gone. Now, it's Jacksonville. How good is Jacksonville? We said to start the week, Jacksonville's not a gimme anymore. Are they going to be better at the end of the season? It sounds like they might be on the right track. Trevor Lawrence looked really bad, though.
Yeah, we'll just have to see because, you know, it is just one win, and it feels great right now because you finally got a win, and you get this bye time to get the new pieces that you've got in, get them adjusted, while also figuring out, okay, what's the identity of this team moving forward? Okay, let's put away all the bad, the Russell, the Hackett, all that stuff, put it behind you. We're going into the second half of the season. Who are we going to be now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they have three big games in front of them that are winnable games. And we say winnable loosely with this Broncos team. I get that. Dixon says it doesn't matter if you didn't know. It's your job to know and ultimately signed off on these moves. See, now, but you're saying that if you get a guy that you think's going to be good, a rookie head coach, and it fails, then that's it. Like, this happens every year in the NFL. Every single year. Is George Payton on the hot seat, kind of? Yeah, he is. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, oh, the Russell Wilson move was terrible at the time. Because we didn't say that at the time. We were excited about Nathaniel Hackett at the time. Rookie head coach. So, yeah, if he ends up firing Hackett, it's going to be a terrible look that might lead to his demise. But you're saying it's your job to know, and ultimately you signed off on these moves. Well, what film were you watching that George Payton wasn't watching? Because he watched the same stuff we saw from Russell Wilson last year, right? Would you have signed off on this deal? Not the extension, and I'll agree, that was rough. But that deal looked good on paper, didn't it? If you based on what you, even though the Seahawks were bad last year, Russell Wilson's numbers were good. And the year before that, they were a playoff team, and his numbers were good.
Yeah, I would go back to March or whenever that trade happened, and you'd probably still make it. And the extension, that's a whole other conversation because we just didn't know. But at the time, you're like, oh, this is a Hall of Fame quarterback. This is a top 10 quarterback in the league, and we're going to get him out of a situation where he doesn't feel wanted or feel happy.
Yeah.
And we bring him here. Hey, this is your team, Russ. Go nuts. Go do high knees or something.
And we're not talking much about that anymore.
No, it's gone.
That's because when you win, it goes
away.
Until
he does something else.
When you win, it goes away. And Dixon, I feel like you're just pointing out the negatives, and that's true. Those are worth pointing out. The recent moves, but isn't Greg Dulcich a recent move? That tight end looks like he's going to be a player. Based on what we just saw from Nick Benito, who knows? I need to see more, but he's a rookie. Patrick Surtain is the best.
There's so many unknowns in the NFL.
Patrick Surtain's the best cornerback in the league. Who drafted him? When you could have taken a quarterback. He gambled and didn't go with Justin Fields. He went with Patrick Surtain. Justin Fields is iffy at best right now.
He's on his way up.
Maybe. They got Claypool. Got some weapons for him. But Patrick Surtain, Von Miller said on a podcast with Richard Sherman last night, they both agreed that he's likely the best corner. Sherman says he needs to get more picks. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Nobody throws to him.
Like, the best corner is the one you don't hear about because they're terrified of him. I mean, I want to see Surtain in some plays. I want to see him move and break up passes and stuff, but he's a great tackler. He can defend. I mean, he's the best, probably the best right now. He's at least close. But it's not like all the moves have been awful. Now, yes, the biggest moves. But I don't disagree with the Bradley Chubb move at all. It didn't make you that much worse. Now, if Bradley Chubb was wrecking games, like we saw Von Miller do that year of the Super Bowl, then I'd freak out. Wow, you just got rid of a big-time difference maker. If Denver traded Patrick Surtain for a first-round pick, I would be losing my you-know-what today. And maybe Justin Simmons. Because I think Justin Simmons is a difference maker. He made a huge difference in that Jacksonville game. That pick saved points. Ultimately saved the game. So, a lot to get to on the other side. I'll look forward to it. We're going to talk to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. They had a scrimmage over the weekend against Nebraska. Their regular season's getting set to start very soon, so we'll talk about the Buffs basketball side of things. And so much more coming up in the second hour. Lunch Rush coming up next. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy.